Welcome to the final chapter of Business 121, Principles of Money Management. And in this chapter, we'll discuss the final chapter of life, retirement, and estate planning. Estate planning. It sounds better than death planning, doesn't it? Yeah, right. Anyway, let's first start with retirement. The golden years. By 2030, 76 million baby boomers will have retired. That's not too far from now. Only 46 million Gen Xers will have come up to replace them. Interesting. What does that mean? Well, we'll discuss that. And an oft-heard lament of senior citizens is, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have done things a whole lot differently. Right. That's the one big unknown when it comes to retirement. How long are you going to live? Slide number two. Why think about retirement planning now? Well, look, people are living longer. It's a great problem to have. And people are spending more years, 16 to 20, in retirement. Sound like a test question? How many years can you expect to live in retirement? 16 to 20. I hope to live a lot longer than that. A private pension and Social Security are most often insufficient to cover the cost of living. What private pension plan? Defined benefit plans, as they are legally referred to, are disappearing. Traditional pension plans are disappearing. What are they being replaced with? Defined contribution plans, which, as we're going to see, have the potential to help us have a much more lucrative retirement, but also have the potential to just leave us in the lurch. Inflation will diminish the purchasing power of your retirement savings. Inflation doesn't retire just because you do. Excuse me. Estimating retirement living expenses. Spending patterns will change. Some expenses may go down or stop. Work, clothing, housing. Hopefully you've paid down that debt of the mortgage. Income taxes will go down. But other expenses will probably go up. Medical. Leisure, gifts, and contributions. Some family cultures, it's just de rigueur that the grandparents are going to help the grandchildren. Inflation will raise the amount you need to cover your expenses over your probable how many years? 16 to 20 or more years in retirement. And you know what? The only one that really scares me, folks, is healthcare. Because it's the wild card. Healthcare has been rising at a rate twice the rate of inflation, and it doesn't look like it's going to slow down anytime soon. It's the only thing that really puts a scare in me. And my wife and I are in relatively good shape, and we have pretty good insurance, but still, you just never know. This is, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, how the average older 65-plus household spends its money. And again, if we had purchased a home and paid down that mortgage over our working careers, we hope that that housing would be less. But if not, then that the housing is going to be a big chunk. Now, there is senior housing that sometimes is subsidized, but the waiting lists, my understanding, are quite long, especially now because of the baby boom generation. And we'll discuss the baby boomers in our own little presentation, in our next little presentation. But notice transportation. I always tease my wife, you want to get rid of our cars? Because we have two. And she goes, you can get rid of your car. But hopefully soon, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. We talked about this already. I'm hoping that driverless cars become a reality and that you don't need a car. You just call up a car to come pick you up and it takes you where you want to go. And of course, if you want to go drive alone or ride alone, it's going to cost more than if you're willing to carpool with other people. Yeah. So here it is. The average older 65-plus household spends its money. Planning your retirement housing, slide number 5. Consider the cost of living and taxes. Most people prefer to stay in their homes because after 30 years, 20 years, or whatever, or more, that's where they want to live. 6 out of 7 people do want to remain in their homes. And these reverse mortgages, oh, be so careful with these things, folks. There are sharks. Anytime you see a celebrity, a movie star or a sports hero or whatever, hawking financial instruments, you got to really give yourself pause. And this guy who used to be a detective on television is hawking these things. Be very, very careful. Find a good lawyer, real estate lawyer, or a financial advisor, CPA that you trust, who can review it, because there are sharks in the water and they just love to prey on the old people. It's sick, but it happens. Why are the continuing care communities that are bursting at the seams? Not because a bigger percentage of people are leaving their homes. It's just that there's so many more baby boom folks retiring now and now needing more care. It's a whole bunch of us old people. And some will decide to relocate. Look, be careful. Before you sell your place in San Diego, if you own, go live in that other area you're thinking of living for a year or two, and then, okay, yeah, I don't want to go back. We don't want to go back. Because if you come back, if you try to get back, you sell your place and try to get back, forget it. It's just, not only will you have to start all over again, and the property taxes will be 3 or 4 times more. So rent for a year or two, and then, okay, we want to stay, or maybe not, you know. More and more Americans are retiring abroad. Yeah, expats. Costa Rica is very popular. Me gusta, me encanta Mexico. I could easily move down to one of the beautiful beach areas along the Pacific. Huatulco, Zihuatanejo, Puerto Vallarta. Guess what? You think you've left the States and you think you don't have to, no, you still have to pay federal income taxes, but not the state anymore. Some people renounce their citizenship because the United States has made it very difficult for you to do financial transactions and the like if you're not in the States. And some places, the banks won't even deal with you. They just say, oh, you're an American citizen, forget it. We don't want to deal with you. Healthcare is going to be an issue. If you cancel your Medicare or don't sign up for Medicare, and then, you know, you've been in that area for, you know, 10 years or so, and now, you know, your health is not doing well. So you go back to the States to get the Medicare. Medicare is going to say, oh, no. You have to pay us as if you were here the whole 10 years, okay? It's going to be very expensive to rejoin. They're not going to let you. And some people do, you know, they enjoy their good golden years in a, you know, much less a costly and not a sophisticated place, and then they want to come back for the health care to the States. Well, you're going to pay for that. Social security. Is Social Security going bankrupt? No, folks. It's not going bankrupt. Medicare is going bankrupt, but that's not because of Medicare. That's because our health system is bankrupting us. And we talked about that back in Chapter 9. But no, Medicare, Social Security is not going bankrupt. What's happening is the trust fund that they had built up is being depleted. And when it is depleted, which is, you know, maybe 10 years from now, maybe sooner, what'll happen is it'll only be able to pay out about 70% of the benefits that it has promised people. And that's because of us baby boomers. Once we get through the baby boom generation, once we all die out, then Social Security will be on much stronger footing. In the meantime, we have to do something. And the longer the politicians hem and haw, the harder it's going to be. But the most important thing to remember is that Social Security was not meant to be the sole source of your retirement income. When it was designed back in the 1930s, It was never designed to be the sole source of income. It was meant to be one leg of a three or four-legged stool. And yet, somewhere along the line, people just figured, oh, I don't have to worry about retirement. I got social insecurity. And then when they realize how little it's going to pay, about one third or one quarter of what they need, then they panic. You are not going to be one of them. The full retirement benefits The full retirement benefits start at either age 65 to 67, depending on the year you're born. And I'm joking, I'm calling it social insecurity, but confidence is low in the system. Young people often say that they have a better chance of seeing a UFO from another planet than seeing Social Security. Well, I don't agree. I ask people, do you think the United States will be around? They say, Social Security isn't going to be around in 40 years when I'm ready to retire. I said, well, do you think the United States is going to be around in 40 years when you retire? Yeah, well, Social Security will be there. But remember, it was not meant to be the sole source. You have to start planning now for your eventual 16 to 20 years. You younger folks, it might be a lot longer. We don't know. You know, that's why they call it the future. But we don't know exactly what's going to happen. We do know that medical technology is just exploding and people are going to be living longer. What's happening, though, is the average age or the life expectancy is going down. And that's because of, COVID didn't help. And also the opioid epidemic. So here they are, folks. If you were born before 1938, it was 65 years. But notice that people were born later and later and later until 1960, it crept up to 67. So I want you to remember that. When Social Security was started, it was 65 years, the age of retirement. Now it's 67. So it's gone up 2 years. And what's life expectancy gone up? Yeah, a lot more. Right. So we got a disconnect somewhere. We'll come back to this in our next presentation. Now, here's where we discuss the defined benefit versus defined contribution plans. Now, I want you to remember these, although most people just call it the traditional pension plan or just a pension plan. But the term, IRS code, defined benefit. Okay, so write that down because it's going to be on the exam. The employer will pay you a certain amount per month when you retire based on your pre-retirement salary, the number of years of service, and your age at retirement. Thank you, Southwestern College and California State Teachers Retirement System. You know, when I started, I was really young. I didn't know what I was doing. And I was only going to be here for a semester. It was a temporary full-time position, but just temporary, one semester. And they give you all the materials, and I'm reading through this. I'm looking at this pension plan, and I'm going, you know, this ain't bad. This is not bad. I took a 20% pay cut. I left the industry as a programmer and took a 20% pay cut. But you know what? I'm glad I did because I absolutely adore teaching, and the pension plan is very good. And, you know, the public pension plans are often under attack because they are generous, but at the same time, we make less money out in the public sector, or at least we usually had. We certainly made less. You know, I got offers for a lot more money to go back out to the industry, but I thought, I love what I do. Why would I get rid of this? And so if you're lucky enough to have a defined pension plan, then you need to find out what are all the perks, what are they going to do for you. The employer makes investment decisions for you and your contributions, for your contributions and their contributions. So you see, it's in the employer's court. They have to deal with it. But your benefit amount stays the same regardless of how the investments perform. That's why it's called defined benefit. Unless the fund goes belly up, and some companies were guilty of raiding their defined benefit plans, and then boom, that blew up in their face. Well, blew up in the faces of the retirees. And then, but there's like the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation for banks. There's a entity that backstops the defined benefit plans. Social Security is one example. You know, depending on how long you've worked and what your age is and your salary, you'll get a certain amount for the rest of your life. But those are all going away. Why? Because people are living longer. And what are they being replaced with? The defined contribution plans. And you know these as 401ks, 403bs. But really, there are more than just those salary reduction plans or employer-sponsored plans. Money purchase plans, stock bonus plans, profit-sharing plans. They're similar, but the most popular one is the 401k and the 403b. And what dumb names these are, right? I just don't understand. You go to the IRS and you say, come on, IRS, can't you come up with a better name for that? Oh, yes, we call them salary reduction plans. Isn't that what you want? You want your salary reduced? Well, it's not your salary's not being reduced. What's happening is a piece of your salary is being sent to an employer-sponsored plan. And, it makes sense because now it's employee-centered. Because people don't normally stay with the same employer for their entire career. So you can pick up your pension plan and move it with you, either moving it to another 401k, 403b, or to your own traditional IRA, sometimes called Roth, rollover IRA. So now where do the names come from? Those are the sections of the Internal Revenue Code that spell out if the employer does this, that, and the other thing, and the employee does this, this, and that, then we're going to give you a big tax break. So the employer is off the hook now. The employer doesn't have to worry about paying for you, doesn't have to take care of a certain fund and then pay you a certain amount for the rest of your life. It's up to you. It's on your shoulder. And the opportunity is there. Dear students, you start early, you invest consistently, prudently, with an eye toward long-term growth. Don't panic when the markets fall. Don't get too greedy when the markets go ahead. The opportunity to have a far better retirement income is there for you than a traditional benefit plan. On the other hand, if you don't invest, right, you just say, I'll worry about it later, or you chase after every next big thing, and then when the markets fall, you pull your money out, only to see the markets jump back up again, you have the opportunity to not have a very good retirement income. So it's a dual-edged sword. But I'm big fans of these folks. And many of them, the 401ks at least, will match. You put $50 in, they'll put $50 in. What a sweet deal. Who's going to give you 100% return on your investment in one day? That's your employer. Very good. And I sometimes just wonder why people would not take advantage of this. It's free money. Now, of course, there's strings attached, as we'll see. But it's still something that I believe everyone should take advantage of. Of course, I'm not biased. I just teach this stuff, and I'm an investor in a stockbroker. Yeah. Okay. Estimating retirement living income. Well, there are dozens and dozens of these things, folks. Most of them are marketing tools. They call them retirement calculators. But you go through the whole thing, type in how much money you make and how much you're spending and how much you're investing and blah, blah, blah. And at the end it says, oh, you're not going to have enough in retirement. Here, talk to one of our representatives. So they're like, not all of them. Here are two actual good ones here at American Funds and T. Rowe Price. And also, remember the longevity calculator? Right, check out the longevity calculator. How much time you have to live. Social Security will send you the estimated benefit statement upon request. They used to send one every year to people once they were age 60, but now they don't do that anymore. They want you to create an account and use their website, and they've got their own tools, which are actually not so bad. I've been playing with them. I haven't taken Social Security yet, but I probably will in a few years. I'm not sure. I'm old. Now, let's go through the types of retirement accounts. They fall into two major categories, pre-tax and post-tax, or sometimes called before-tax and after-tax. So remember those two sets of names, pre-tax, post-tax, before-tax, after-tax. So traditionally, they were all pre-tax, 401ks, 403bs, 457s, 401As, there's a few others. The TSP, the Thrift Savings Plan for federal employees, is a 401k type of plan, but it actually has its own section of the Internal Revenue Code. But it looks just like a 401k. In fact, we use it as one of our assignments in Business 123, Introduction to Investments, because it's actually a very good plan. The traditional IRA, it used to be just called the IRA, but now they call it the traditional IRA to differentiate it from the Roth IRA. Anybody who has earned income can have a traditional IRA. There's some confusion, but no, anybody can have a traditional IRA. And then there are a few of their cousins, the SEP IRA, the Simple IRA, the KEO. They're mostly for smaller businesses. I love the name KEO. Reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. Yo-hee-yo, KEO. Oh, yes. Pretty amazing where my mind goes sometimes. They all work the same way. You get a tax break now, you deduct the contributions from your income tax, it lowers your taxes now, and then you pay income taxes on the money you withdraw in retirement. Cool, right? So pre-tax or before tax. Get a tax break now, pay taxes later in retirement, which makes sense because usually in retirement you're in a lower tax bracket. The relatively new one, well, now it's been around for 25 years, is the Roth option. And it's named after the guy who pushed it. William Roth, he was a senator in his 70s and having to take money out of his retirement accounts, but he was still working. So he was really angry about that. So he said, I want to change the way we do these. And he named it after him, Roth IRA. You pay taxes now. And your 401k, your 403b can have this option if the company offers it. They don't have to. You get a tax break later. No tax break now, but tax-free in retirement. IRS doesn't like that term. They like the term tax-exempt, whatever. But you pay taxes now, and then on the money that you put in, well, you already pay taxes on that, and any earnings. And we all saw back in chapter one and then throughout our investing what compound earnings can do for us will be tax-free. What a golden opportunity. So, do you remember this slide from when we started in investing? Regular taxable accounts have no limitations. However much money you have, you can put it in. Whatever kind of a plan you want, whatever kind of investment you want to buy, you can. And you pay taxes every year on any interest, dividends, capital gains. Whereas retirement accounts like the traditional IRA, the Roth IRA, the 401k, the 403b, there are strict limits on contributions, which we'll review when we asked you back in Chapter 3 what they were. Do you remember? There are strict limits on the investment types. Notice there are far fewer than there were over here on the right, left side in the regular account. And they all grow tax deferred, except for the Roth options, which grow tax free. And although there are many subtle and not so subtle differences, the major differences are how they are taxed by the IRS, how much money you can contribute, and what investments you can have in the account. So let's take a look at the IRA, the Individual Retirement Arrangement. That's its actual real name, folks. Nobody except for the IRS calls it that. Everybody else calls it an individual retirement account. But the real name, the legal term, is Individual Retirement Arrangement. It's the most popular personal retirement plan. It's been around for decades. Now it's called the traditional IRA so that people don't get it confused with the Roth IRA. Anyone with earned income can contribute. There's a little bit of confusion here because the Roth is different. If you have a certain amount over income, you really can't contribute, but you actually can. Our tax code is broken. I'll show you how, but you probably won't understand it and you'll scratch your head. And that's okay because that's what we're up against. But what happens if you have a retirement plan at work, like a 401k, the TSP, or 403b? By the way, 403b is usually for public employees like teachers and people at hospitals and the like. 401ks are more for private businesses, you know, private employees, private for businesses. If you have one of those at work and you make over a certain amount of money, depending on if you're married or not, then you can still contribute. You just can't deduct the amount from your income that year. So it goes in on an after-tax basis. Now, you want to remember how much you contributed because when you take it out, you don't want to be taxed twice. So save your end-of-year statements every year. But I'm not a big fan of that. If you really have a 401k, 403b at work, use that for your pre-tax and then take advantage of the Roth IRA for your post-tax. The contribution limits increase with inflation. If you remember, it was $6,500 in 2023. And if you're 50 years or older, it's an extra $1,000. The investment grows tax deferred, which is a very cool thing. And then you pay taxes on the money as you withdraw it once you're retired. This is normally at age 59 and a half. You don't have to start taking it then. And there's actually a way you can take it before then, but you have to talk to the IRS and it's a little tricky. I don't recommend it. Because once you start, say you start taking it out at 55, you have to continue to take it out. Even if you went back to work. You say, well, I don't need it anymore. IRS said, sorry, you got to do it. Oof. And once you turned, used to be 70 and a half, now it's been pushed to 72. It'll probably be pushed to 73, 4, 5 in the next several years. Not sure yet. But once you turn a certain age, then they want you to start taking it out. Now, I don't really understand why they do this. They're going to get their money one way or the other, whether you, while you're alive, or if you bequeath it to one of your heirs or your spouse, eventually it's going to come out of there. It's got to come out of there eventually, and they're going to get their taxes. But they make you start taking out at a certain age, now 72. And the IRA has many cousins, the 401k, the 403b, the 457, the TSP. Notice the big difference, $22,500 in 2023. And if you're 50 or over, $7,500 additional. That's a lot of money, folks. $29,000 a year. You do that for just a few years. When you're younger, put $22,500. Say you're a married couple, one person puts much of their salary into the 401k, the other person, you live off their salary. Do that for 5 years in your late 20s and early 30s. Put it in a prudent, long-term-oriented investment that has done well over decades. You'll never have to put another dime away. And I've had two couples, you know, married couples, come and see me in my office and say, we don't believe you. I showed them the illustrations, you know. I can show you if you just ask me. Remember the illustrations of you put $100 away, you know, for 30 years or whatever. It's pretty impressive. The SEP IRA, the simple IRA, the simple 401k, the KEO, they're normally for smaller companies. The Roth IRA is the same as the traditional IRA, except you don't get a tax break now. We've already said this. You get a tax break later. But the big difference is that there is an income limit. Unlike the traditional IRA, it doesn't matter how much money you make, $1 million, $10 million, you can put $6,500 into an IRA. The Roth IRA, no. But there's a way to get around it. And then again, if you have an employer that, we should put this in quotes because that's the IRS doesn't call it a Roth 401k or a Roth 403b. But that's what people call it. The same limits as the 401k, 403b. They all work very much like the traditional IRA, pre-tax, tax deferred, before tax, except for the Roth options, the Roth IRA, the Roth 401k, where you have after-tax, post-tax contributions, and then tax-free in retirement. So here you go, folks. You got a 401k at work, and you contribute via your paycheck $100. Now, remember we talked about the marginal tax rate, and you wanted to forget that it even existed, but I told you you were going to come back to it, and well, we're coming back to it. Say you're in the 25% tax bracket. The feds are going to give you a $25 subsidy. And let's say you're in the 8% California. There is no 8%. There's a 6, a 7, and a, you know. But let's just say 8% just for ease of use. The state of California is going to give you an $8 subsidy. So, well, they don't really write you a check, folks. They just take $25 and $8 fewer dollars out of your paycheck. And you've noticed this. You've seen the withholding. And so the total government subsidy is $33. So you put $100 into the account, your take-home pay is only reduced by $67. Not bad. That's a pretty good deal. Plus, we aren't even taking into account whether or not you have a match. Let's say you had a 100% match on the first on the $100. You would get $200 in your account, and you only see your take-home pay reduced by $67. What a deal! Okay, Piano, what's the catch? Well, it's not that bad, actually. You pay income tax on any amounts withdrawn in retirement. But, in general, people in retirement are usually in a lower tax bracket. And you'll hear people say, whoa, it's a time bomb, you're going to be hit with huge taxes in your elder years. You know what? If you're in that sorry situation that you're taking out so much money out of your retirement accounts that it bumps you up into a higher tax bracket, congratulations. It is my supreme desire that all my students, all my clients, and myself have this terrible affliction in our golden years that we're taking too much money out of our retirement accounts. Also, if you withdraw the funds before retirement, you're going to pay the income tax. Well, that makes sense. You didn't pay on the way in. But you're also going to get hit with a 10% penalty. The IRS doesn't call it a penalty. They call it an additional tax. What difference does it make? It's a penalty. Now, there are some exceptions. First-time home purchase, higher education, medical disability, financial hardship, which before the pandemic was much harder to get accepted. And I'm not sure after the pandemic, well, it's not really over yet, but everyone believes it's over. If it's going to make, it's still going to be easier to claim financial hardship. So you still have to pay the income tax, though, but you just don't have to necessarily pay the 10% penalty. Okay, that was the pre-tax, before tax. What about after tax, post-tax, a Roth IRA? So let's say you contribute to a Roth IRA $100 to a Roth IRA through your checking account, savings account, or maybe Roth 401k at work. What does the government give you? Nothing. How about the state of California? Nothing. So you get no subsidy. They still take the same amount of money out of your paycheck. So your disposable income is reduced by $100. So you may ask the question, why do you want to contribute to a Roth IRA? In fact, some people might ask you that question when they find out that you're contributing to a Roth IRA. And remember, you are now the financial guru for your friends and family and colleagues. And so this is important. You have to have a good answer. And here it is. Because the Roth IRA is so cool. That's what I tell people. Tax-free in retirement, tax-exempt, sorry IRS, is a golden opportunity. No other investment choice comes close. Eventually, I think they're going to get rid of them, but it doesn't look like it. Now, some people might say, well, there's this situation where you could have been, yeah, right, okay. But in general, tax-free in retirement is going to win out over any other option. Now, this is not talking about your investments. We're talking about the accounts. The investments, we assume, are going to be the same. Plus, Here's another cool thing about the Roth IRA. You can withdraw the contributions at any time without penalty. Well, that makes sense. You already paid taxes on the contributions, right? Oh, by the way, you have to wait 5 years before you get the tax-free, but most people will be putting it away for many years before they retire, so let's not even go there. But you can take the contributions out because you've already paid taxes on them. This makes the Roth IRA also an excellent intermediate-term investment account. Purchase of a house, other high-ticket item, great for college expenses. Why? Because when you fill out the FAFSA form, people think it's the FAFSA form, but it's the FAFSA form, you are not asked what's in your Roth IRA. Right, very cool. So people will come up to me and say, should I start a savings account for my kid for college? I say, have you funded your Roth IRA yet? They say, no. I said, do that first. Because also, if you use those educational savings accounts, whatever money is in there reduces the amount of financial aid you're going to get. Right. Plus, you can't take advantage of those tax credits we talked about, the lifelong learning and the American opportunity. I don't like those things. They're really great for people who already know my kid ain't going to get financial aid. They're great for those people, and they usually don't have to worry too much about their situations. Anyway, so that's the reason you want a Roth IRA. But, okay, see if you can follow me on this. This is how broken our tax code is. There are limitations on Roth IRA contributions depending on your income. No, they're not. You just have to learn how to navigate the paperwork. Only single taxpayers with an adjusted gross income of $138,000 or less in 2023, goes up with inflation, and married couples with an adjusted gross income of $218,000 or less in 2023 can fully contribute to a Roth IRA. And if you don't qualify, congratulations. Yeah. But here's the thing. You can still contribute to the Roth IRA anyway. If you find you've made over the limit, you then recharacterize, that's the verb that the IRS uses, recharacterize the contributions into a traditional IRA, which doesn't have the same limitations, before you file your taxes. Actually, you can wait until October, but don't do that. Do it before you file your taxes. Actually, do it before the end of the year. And then convert the traditional IRA back into a Roth. You do it on the exact same day. I've helped people do it. You turn in the paperwork. Please recharacterize my contributions for this year, 2023 or 2022, whatever year you're dealing with, into a traditional IRA, and then convert the traditional IRA back into the Roth. I know. Who voted for these bozos? Oh, yeah, we did. Is the tax code broken? Yes. Can we agree on how to fix it? No. Why they have this limitation, I have no idea, but they do, and there's a way to get around. It's called the Roth backdoor. There's a few other things you have to be, you know, don't do it alone. You know, have somebody help you, because there's a few things you have to worry about when you do it. But yes, it can be done. Now, this is one thing, you do your own taxes, you better remember this. You know, the programs like TaxSlayer, TurboTax, and the like, they handle this pretty well. And if you go to Vita Vuda, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, or if you get involved in them as a volunteer, their system picks it up immediately. If you contribute to one of these qualified plans, as the IRS calls it, 401k, 403b, Roth IRA, traditional IRA, you could get a tax credit. It's for low-income earners. But I don't know about you, but $57,000, $73,000, that's not too shabby. $36,000 for a single person, well, as long as you don't have kids. So it's a maximum of $2,000 credit, and it's based on your adjusted gross income. It could be anywhere from 10 to 20 to 50%, I think. That's what it is, up to 50%, depending on your income. And remember, a tax credit is a dollar-for-dollar reduction of income taxes. Very cool. Now, again, if you do your own taxes, don't forget this. If you have someone do your taxes for you, make sure you remind them, look, I put $50 a month into my Roth IRA. That's $600 a year. You might get $300 back. Not bad. And if you don't claim it, is the IRS going to call you up and say, hey, Fred, we saw that you didn't. No, the IRS is not going to do that. So you have to claim it. And you get, I think, 3 years until if you didn't claim it, you could say, oh, I goofed, I didn't. And then they'll go back, I think, 3 years. But that's it. Now, we talked about this. The Roth 401k, the Roth 403b, put them in quotes because that's not what the IRS calls them. They're not. It's not in the Internal Revenue Code, is that. If your employer offers the option, you are able to place after-tax dollars into your 401k, your 403b accounts. Post-tax contributions like a Roth IRA, although contributions cannot be taken out without penalty or taxes, as can be done with the Roth IRA. So remember, the Roth IRA, you can take the contributions out at any time. Not so with the Roth 401k, 403b. And any employer matching is going to be pre-tax. So you get this mixture, and it scares me because it's a bit of an accounting nightmare. You have to remember, you have to keep track of, that's why you save your end-of-year statements, how much money went in pre-tax and how much money went in post-tax. Because you don't want the IRS trying to charge you in taxes on the whole thing when you, hey, I put some of it in pre-tax. Okay, prove it. I mean, post-tax. Go ahead, prove it. And okay, here are my statements from the years. This option is popular with workers in lower tax brackets. They don't need the tax break now. I don't think they're quite as good as the Roth IRA unless your company matches your contributions. If your company matches your contributions, you know, that's a winner. You know, 50%, 100% return on your money in one day. Take it. And make sure you save those end-of-year statements. Most companies now save them electronically forever, but don't count on it, right? Don't trust them. Not they don't trust them, but just do your own saving, just in case. And finally, here, according to the Social Security Administration, this is the anticipated sources of retirement income. Notice they recommend, and this is the way it's been for decades, folks, about a quarter to a third of your income in retirement from Social Security. Social Security was never meant to be your sole source of income in retirement. But for many people, I've met many of them down in Mexico who are living a pretty decent life on their Social Security alone. I first did a Spanish intensive program in Morelia, the most beautiful Mexican city you've never heard of. But it's like going to Europe. It's just exquisite. And in the Spanish intensive program, I met a few people. I forget, like three. One person I spoke with quite a bit who were living in Morelia. The rent was $200 a month. And it was a nice apartment, right? And the city is just gorgeous. And they were scrambling to learn Spanish like me. So think about it, right? Retire abroad. Okay, so next. What's next? In our next presentation, we're going to take a look at a serious issue which seems to be working itself out. It hasn't been full-blown yet. And I think the problem is because of healthcare. I think that's going to be the serious problem. But we call it the baby boom generational time bomb. Relax. It's actually turning out not as bad as we thought it might turn out. So we'll see you in our next presentation. Go back over. Make sure you understand this information. Because as the financial guru for your friends and family and coworkers, they're depending on you. You need to step up to the plate and be awesome.